Today's gospel naturally reminds us of yesterday's gospel. Yesterday, Jesus drove out an unclean spirit, and everybody was amazed. In today's gospel, he drives out hundreds of unclean spirits. The people weren't amazed, they were afraid. But in the end of the gospel, when the man who had been freed proclaims the good news, all were amazed. So we reflect a little bit here on the amazing work of Jesus in regard to unclean spirits. This was a very big part of Jesus' public ministry, exorcism. You can hardly read a page of the gospel without hearing about Jesus driving out one or another evil spirit, and he sends out his disciples to continue this work of driving out evil spirits. So this is a big part of the good news. I know a lot of people don't think much about this, or they don't want to think about it, but you can't establish the kingdom of God unless you tear down and overthrow the kingdom of evil. And that's clearly what Jesus did. Now we know how the story ends. We know Jesus is victorious. Whether the evil spirit is active in the synagogue, which was a holy place, or active in the wilderness and among the tombs, which was considered an unclean place, the end is still the same. Jesus is victorious. And so we take consolation in the fact that Jesus overcomes the kingdom of evil. In fact, he does it quite easily. But it's not right for us to simply say we know how the story ends, so we don't bother reading the story. That's like saying, well, I know that Jesus died and rose again, so why do I have to bother reading the gospel? Of course we read the gospel. God wants us to know the whole story. He wants us to know our enemy and how he works and how he's overthrown. God wants us to know this. So even though it's sometimes a very disturbing part of the story, we have to go through it. And this gospel is particularly disturbing. This man, in the territory of the Gerasenes, is in a terrible condition. He's beating himself with stones, he's smashing chains, he's howling day and night. And the man's in torment. And the whole thing is ugly, all the swine and the tombs. So, yeah, I understand people not wanting to reflect on evil spirits, not wanting to think much about them, but we have to. It's part of the story. If you ever read The Lord of the Rings, you could say, I know that the ring gets destroyed at the end, and the evil empire of Sauron gets overthrown. Sure, everyone knows that. But does that mean you don't read the story? No, you read the story because a lot of the lessons come from the conflict between good and evil. Well, that's a fictional story, but the principle is the same. We have to know not only how it ends, but how, not only how it ends, but how it ends. Well, how does it come about? And what's our part in it? So we can't know that without knowing the tactics of the evil one. You might notice that in yesterday's gospel, there was one unclean spirit. The man was possessed with an unclean spirit, but he spoke as if he were many. What have you to do with us? He spoke in a plural. Jesus of Nazareth, have you come to destroy us? He was one, but he spoke as if there were many. In today's gospel, the unclean spirit speaks as if he's only one. What have you to do with me? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. And he turns out to be many. In fact, hundreds, thousands. What's being revealed here? Well, first of all, demons are liars. They're deceivers. They don't tell the truth or reveal the truth about themselves. So until Jesus imposes by his divine authority, tells him to reveal his name. We don't really know who this legion is. But after Jesus takes charge, we say, okay, now we know there's hundreds of them, thousands. So the demons are deceivers. If they think that we can be intimidated, they will say, oh, there are many of us, even if there's only one. And that seems to be what he was trying to do yesterday. Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. It was almost as if he was, animals, sometimes they puff up their feathers or their hair to try to look bad. They look more threatening. That seems to be what this evil spirit was doing in yesterday's gospel, trying to look threatening. But in today's gospel, he doesn't, even though there's thousands of them, they don't seem to try to intimidate Jesus. Instead, they act like he should have pity on them. Oh, don't torment me. Please have pity on us. Don't send us away. Don't torment us. It's almost as if they're trying another deceptive tactic. Well, that's how demons are. We have to know this. Can't trust anything to do with evil spirits. Don't play around with evil spirits. They will deceive you and manipulate, play on your emotions, trick your mind. Don't get into any conversations with demons or open any doors to demons, because they're too clever. That's the first thing. Now, looking at this case of Legion even invokes the name of God. I adjure you, meaning I beg of you, by God, do not torment me. Demons can use holy language. Well, yesterday the demon was right in the synagogue. Demons can pretend to be angels of light. This is clear from the scriptures. So don't be deceived by the holy language. We have to discern and take the perspective that Jesus has. Why does Jesus allow the demons to get what they ask for? The legion says, "Well, please, don't drive us away from this territory." Jesus could certainly have driven them away. He could have told them to go anywhere. He has absolute authority over the spirit world. This is clear. Yesterday, his authority was clear. Today, his authority is clear. He does it, and this is important for us to know too. Jesus does allow them to get what they ask in order to achieve his own purpose, which is to reveal the kingdom, to reveal his authority, and also to reveal how evil spirits work. So they think they're getting a favor by getting to go into the swine. In fact, Jesus is using this to expose their violent, their self-destructive character. Just as the man was destroying himself, beating himself with stones, well, the swine destroy themselves. There's something in this group of evil spirits which is self-destructive. And that's what Jesus wants us to see. One of the things he wants us to see, because we wouldn't know that. You can't see evil spirits. You can't really understand them that well until they're exposed, until their tactics are brought out into the light. And that's what Jesus allows. So we see the swine run down the hill, the steep bank, into the sea, and drown. Well, then what happens to the evil spirits? We wouldn't know, except the evidence points to them somehow influencing the people of the region, because they're the next ones who do something self-destructive. They plead with Jesus to leave their district. That sounds like a demonic thing, if anything. Asking Jesus, begging Jesus to go away. And the gospel is preserved for us to know that anyone who is driving Jesus away is under the influence of evil. To reject the reign of Christ the King is to welcome the reign of someone else. One evil spirit or a thousand. Now, it can be quite intimidating to think about thousands of evil spirits. One's enough. One's more than enough for us. So to think of someone being possessed by thousands is frightening. But look at how this gospel ends. It ends very beautifully. The thousands lose all power over the man who was possessed because of Jesus. Jesus says the word. As if to say, there is no such thing as a hopeless case. There is no such thing as someone who's so deeply in the grip of evil that he can't be set free. Anyone can be set free. I say, Jesus can set anyone free. That's clear. And the man is so free that he wants to be a follower. He wants to become one of the disciples. Very beautiful. There must have been something good in this man, and that's what Jesus freed. One more surprise, though, is that Jesus does not give in to the request of the man. Now, he gave in to the request of the evil spirits, but he doesn't give in to the request of the man. Who's in charge here? Jesus is in charge. He knows what will bear good fruit. Evil spirits don't know, and they don't want good fruit anyway. This man doesn't know. But to his credit, he submits himself to the authority of Jesus. Jesus says, don't come with me. Go to your people. Go to your family. They know that you're a mess. They know that you're possessed. They know that you're self-destructive. Go and tell them how you were set free. And he does it. He goes not just to his family, but all around the Decapolis. That's the region known as the Ten Cities. Pretty big territory. Lots of people, but not all his relatives. And everybody's amazed. He becomes an evangelist. A great story of victory over evil. So, pondering these stories of exorcism, of Jesus' authority over evil spirits, helps us understand how he takes authority over evil spirits in our day. Now, we don't see that many possessed people. You don't hear people shouting a day and night and hitting themselves with stones. If you go to a cemetery, you won't see, usually, possessed people. You just see caretakers and, you know, people praying. So people get the idea that they're not around. No. Don't be deceived by the subtlety of evil spirits. They are around. There are thousands of them. There are certainly thousands of them. They lurk everywhere. And they're constantly opposing whatever is good, whatever is true, and whatever is beautiful. They're constantly opposing the reign of Jesus Christ. They do it in politics. They do it in the internet. They do it in all kinds of media. They do it in every gathering of human people, even in the church. They are constantly working to divide and to confuse and to scatter. That's just the way it is. I mean, we have to know that's how they work, and they don't give up. But it's not enough simply to know that, because then we'll be afraid and discouraged. So that truth has to be brought out into the light at the same time that we acknowledge Jesus' authority. Yes, there's thousands of evil spirits, hundreds of thousands. But one word from Jesus is enough to put them in their place. So if we don't give them space, and if we place ourselves under the authority of Jesus Christ, we have nothing to fear. Nothing. So in the end, it's good news. It's good news. Today's first reading talks about how the heroes of the Old Testament were victorious by faith. Victorious by faith. They overcame all sorts of persecution and sufferings and contradictions by faith. And the point being given to us is, well, we have even more to our advantage than they had. They were approved because of their faith, but they did not receive what had been promised. We're the ones who have received what had been promised, which is Jesus Christ and his reign. So as we look with with a clear vision at the reign of evil, we do so with absolute confidence in the victory, the power of Jesus Christ.